Soldiers send for those mixtapes, just as in earlier wars they imported music from home when they could, and often they were honored with songs inspired by the very wars they were fighting. One of the biggest hits of 1917 was written by George M. Cohan as the Yanks headed across the Atlantic to fight the Boche.
Red, white, and blue, over there.
During the Vietnam War, Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler famously took control of his own musical destiny. He co-wrote Ballad of the Green Berets while recuperating from a wound incurred in action. It was a number one hit for 5 weeks in 1966.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Berets.
But Sadler was stateside. You'd need a technical revolution before yet another sergeant, Neil Saunders, would be able to produce Live from Iraq, a rap album recorded and produced in a makeshift studio while on deployment in Baghdad, while fighting in Iraq. 15 tracks of music chronicled the inner life of Sergeant Saunders and five fellow soldier musicians with the 1st Cavalry Division deployed from Fort Hood in March of 2004. The group called itself Fourth Quarter, because it seemed that's where they were at in the game of life.
Welcome to the fourth quarter. It's live from every day. It's like a gamble here. This is no joke. This is live from my rap. We pray and we make it home.
The whole album, in a sense, is chronological. From, you know, you have the deployment, and that's, we're on our way there. Then you have Live from Iraq. That's as soon as we've experienced, you know, what this war thing in Iraq is truly about. And then from there, it goes into the mentality.
Sleep with body on my blankets, Kevlar pillows, in a country where when anybody's talking, they lying. And wherever there is a soldier, there is shrapnel flying.
We'd all been doing music for a while, but when it came time for us to deploy, we thought like the music thing was going to be put off for a whole year. You know, that changed as soon as we pulled into Iraq. You know, so much started happening, so much was going on, and we were just like, you know, if we ever considered ourselves artists, how could we not write about the most influential moment in our life? And that's pretty much how the whole album came about.
Would you say that Live from Iraq is in any way a message album? Does it come down on one side of the debate or the other on whether we should be there fighting to begin with?
No, it really doesn't. You know, we didn't take sides. The fact is that we're there, and now it's a matter of life or death to us. What it does say, and the side that it does take, is on that side of the soldiers. It seems like a lot of people don't understand that, you know, just like a surgeon does surgery, soldiers fight. So I guess the one issue that I'm really taking up is the fact that you have soldiers out there and you're not letting them do what they've been trained to do.
What weren't they trained for that they're asked to do over there?
I don't think I was ever trained for any type of a peacekeeping operation. You know, I've never trained one time to walk down range and shake some guy's hand or just talk to him. I never walked down to a target during any gunnery and like gave it a chicken or, you know, pulled a lamb off the back of a truck and say, hey, here you go. What we train to do is we take ammunition and we put holes through things. That's just what soldiers do. And that's where you get the songs like Behind the Screens and 24 Hours. You know, what we're talking about, we feel like our hands have been tied.
Let's talk about 24 Hours. It's an incredibly powerful track. It's basically an explosion of frustration that seems to be directed at the Iraqis, all the Iraqis. Everyone who lives there is guilty.
When we kick in your door, there is no alibi. Everybody is guilty till proved otherwise. Cause they know when to close and open their eyes. Yeah, they know when to run for the enemy ride. And at times, they women be right by their side. Put their kids in the street like tires on fire.
You know, what they're used to is an iron fist. Whoever tells them and stands by what they said is the person that they're going to listen to. So it makes it hard for us to go out there and accomplish anything because we simply can't be out there 24/7. So when they plant an IED in the street and it's right in front of somebody's shop, you know, they're not going to tell us who put it there, even though more than likely they saw who put it there, because they have to live the remainder of that day, you know, scared that this guy's going to come back if they tell us anything. It's like we give them money, we feed them, and then we still get shot at. And the rest of the country there is like, wow, you mean these people can like be engaged in firefights all the time and we're still getting food and being taken care of as if nothing's happening. These people have to be the stupidest people in the world.
But it's not the same people necessarily who are firing at you who you're feeding. They're different people.
You know, it's you probably get a good feeling when you think that, but that's not the truth. We've dropped off aid before, right? And then you'll see the insurgent males. They'll come around and they'll tell everybody to back off of the food. They'll take all of it. They'll go leave. And then 20 minutes later, RPGs, AK-47s going off, ambush right there. After they got what they want, they're going to ambush you.
You said that you don't take a side in the album, and it certainly is democratic in that, with the exception of your fellow soldiers, everyone is a target of your anger. Your commanding officers, peaceniks back home, your girlfriends, and especially the Iraqis that you're fighting. There's one song called Behind the Screens. It seems to be about the war planners, the ones who make the decisions.
Yeah, that song touches about every bad decision that was ever made. You probably remember when the one soldier brought up the question about the 1114s, which is the up-armored Humvee that they have over there, correct?
Right. He asked Donald Rumsfeld at a town meeting with the soldiers why they had to reinforce their own vehicles with scrap metal from local landfills, and it later came out that a reporter had actually planted that question with the soldier.
Yeah, exactly. But that was a very good question, though. You know, the simple fact of the matter is you can go to any base in the green zone, and there'll be one 2004 Tahoe for every American contractor that's there, you know, all with leather, all, you know, with alloy rims. And you're wondering, wow, you know, there's money to attract these people to the effort here in Iraq, but there's no money to get a soldier in 1114.
And I've been through y'all's day, yo. I see how y'all working. Tahoe is suburban for every civilian there working. But it's too much for 1114 here. Am I not worth it? Or is it okay to send me to war with something that's not working?
Did your commanding officers know about this project?
That's a good question. I think they knew that we were recording something.
But they looked the other way?
I don't even think they looked the other way. I just think that they misunderstood the seriousness of the album. I think they thought it was going to be just a traditional rap album. You know, we're talking about going to the club and women and the stereotypical role of a rapper, I guess, is what they thought we were going to play. But they just didn't understand the seriousness that we were taking.
In reality check, you seem to have some pretty strong words for rappers back home. You basically accuse them of being fakers, of claiming to know what it's like to be a soldier, but really having no idea.
Yeah, they don't have an idea. It's I understand that, you know, America's probably not the safest place in the world. You know, you can't go out all times of the night. But in comparison, it's just Americans have it so good. Seeing the difference between what these guys that call them soldiers on their albums, you know, go through compared to what your average soldier is going through on a daily basis over there, it's just not the same. And you have not reserved the right to call yourself a soldier by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm trying to believe you and everything y'all telling me, but I've seen soldiers firsthand, and it's not what y'all selling me. So could you please pull your brand from the shelf? And any more songs identifying you with me, keep them to yourself. Cause though you may have stood behind us, you ain't never stood with us. Cause I ain't never seen you on the blocks here when a man was just hit us. And please don't think just cause you bought some fatigues and run around with your little guns playing war back home in the streets, that you could ever in any lifetime be a reflection of me. Cause I deployed to go to war, you ain't got the balls to leave.
Rap always sounds kind of angry to me, or most of the time. This record sounds absolutely enraged, and it seems that much of it is spent in trying to justify the decisions that you make and the choices you feel you don't have.
Well, you obviously feel like you have a loss of any amount of control that a normal person should have on their life. The simple fact that, you know, the ROE stands as so, ROE is the rules of engagement, that if I'm engaging an enemy that's returning fire on me, when he drops his weapon, I have to stop shooting at him. And that's ridiculous.
Letting them live after they shot at you. Me, I'ma kill them. I'm only trying to make it home, but y'all have painted me the villain. And no, it's never that simple. We are forced to respond, but y'all pretend to yourselves it ain't going on. How many soldiers y'all have seen dead, but you sing the same song? Me, I took the gloves off soon as I saw one.
And so basically you're saying you're asking us to do your dirty work, to follow rules that will have us killed, and you aren't going to feel guilty about killing civilians.
Well, as a soldier, I'm not going to feel guilty about killing anybody because, like I said, it's a matter of life or death for every soldier that's out there in the dirt. And people back home may not understand that. You know, we're over there and our weapons are on safety and we can tell where we're being fired at from. But until we see somebody with a weapon, we can't shoot in that direction. And that's a lot of the anger that we have.
Who are you hoping hears this record?
I think this is something that everybody needs to listen to. A lot of soldiers have told me that before they listened to the album, they couldn't open up because they didn't know what to say. They thought maybe they were the only people that felt the way that they felt.
Just one last question, and this may be a weird question given that the album is so dark, but do you have a favorite song?
I love all of them. All 15. And I also like, you know, the album isn't dark. The album is what it takes to make it out of there. The album was our light.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sergeant Neil Saunders served with the 1st Cavalry Division in Iraq. While there, he produced the hip-hop album Live from Iraq, and you can find out more about it on our website, onthemedia.org.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Volo, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson our engineer. We had help from Sarah Dalsimer, Josh Nathan Casas, and Andy Lancet. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the Foundation of Entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Support for On the Media comes from the Lincoln Center, presenting the Mostly Mozart Festival, and the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.